The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome to another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast, where we answer your questions on how to run your business better. I'm Elizabeth Larkin, Managing Editor of Small Biz Ahead, and with me today, as always, is my co-host, Gene Marks, small business owner and small business expert. Gene, thanks for being here again with me this week.
Happy to be here.
And
having fun?
We're having so much fun. I hope the audience is too, because I'm enjoying that. I'm learning so much from the questions from you and from the research we're doing for this. It's so much fun.
Do you know why, Elizabeth, you're having fun? Is because you're doing something different than like your daily job. Like you're out of your cubicle and we're sitting here in a studio and we're talking. It's just like, it's like a change up. And I have to say that that's the case for any business owner. When you're running a business, you get so wrapped up in all the minutiae and the BS. Any employee, it's the same thing. I'll never forget when I started writing, and this was like 10 years ago, and I started like writing columns. I'd be like driving out to a client and I'm all like upset about some issue that's going on or some nonsense that's going on in my business, whatever. But instead of thinking about that, I'd be thinking, oh, you know, what am I going to write about for my next column? And it would totally like change your state.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It just switches you up. So I always say that to my clients as well. It's very, very easy to get overabsorbed in your business. And I take it from me, find something else outside of your business that you really like to do.
Yeah.
Find anything else that you just enjoy, that you enjoy thinking about, talking about, whatever. Because when things are like just driving you nuts in your company, finding another, you know, turning to another activity, even just thinking about it, will make you much less mental.
Okay, so I have a really, really good recommendation for business owners for this. It might scare them a little bit, and we're going to talk about it in the words of brilliance at the end.
Perfect.
First, we're going to get to questions, though, so we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends in technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
Question one from Bennett from Florida. Gene, you want to talk about your mom for a minute?
My mom is back and healthy, and she's back from Florida.
And
she was
just in Philly?
Bad weather when she was there most of the time, unfortunately, this winter. It cleared up like the last couple of weeks she was down there.
Good.
But she is. I totally get that, right? Don't you? Like, I want to, like, when I'm in my 70s, I get why you leave the Northeast and go down to the warmth of Florida.
Yeah. So I just love that whenever we get in another question and it's someone from Florida, I'm like, oh, Gene's going to talk about his mom.
She likes going to Florida.
All right. Bennett from Florida says, I have a really good idea for a product, but developing it is taking forever. I'm sure that's a universal thing.
Sure.
I want to start doing business now, but I feel that my product isn't perfect yet.
Hmm.
When should I stop adding polish to it and start bringing it to market? Could a premature market launch doom the product forever? So my quick answer to this is, when you're building a business, you're not just developing a product. Like, there are so many steps, and I think that you're going to feel a lot better if you actually sit down and make a list of all those little steps you need to take and start tackling some of those. So you probably shouldn't launch your product until you are, let's say, 80% sure about it.
No, that's good advice. That's good advice.
But you can start working on, like, you're probably going to need a website. You're probably going to need a marketing plan. Like, if you, because I know when people have an idea for a business, they want to get started right now, and it can be really frustrating to not, you know, not be able to launch right away, but there's still so many things you have to do. So just start doing something.
So, you know, I got to give a hat tip to Alexis O'Hannison, who is the CEO and the founder of Reddit, right? Okay. And so I know him. We've been speaking together at a couple of events, and he gives the same presentation each time, which is a great. If you ever got to see Alexis speak, he's okay. fantastic. And
we'll link to that in the show notes.
Everybody. Okay, if we can, which I can find a link. But he talks about the very same issue when, like, when Reddit was first introduced. Reddit is a very popular website. It's supposed to be Reddit on the. It's like a news type site. It's turned into a giant site of huge communities and subcommunities. Yes. And when they introduced their product, it was a mess, and it turned out a lot different. It evolved into something much different than what they originally introduced. And the advice that he was giving back then, he was, you know, him and his co-founder, where they were obsessing over the intricacies and making it perfect or whatever. And they were told, get it out there. Get it out there and let it evolve. And because the bottom line is, your product or service, whatever you're thinking of doing, Bennett, it's going to be a lot different 2 years from now than it is right now. It's just going to change. And not only that, it's probably not very good now because you just don't have experience with it. It's not going to be good. Now, Alexis used different words than I'm using now, but it's not going to be good, you know, until you actually get it out there and listen to your customers and make changes and then do other things to it. So you had said, like, that 80% rule. Totally agree with that. You know, like, we live in an imperfect world, you know, so nothing is ever. This is why software companies release products and they make you buy maintenance or subscribe to it, because they know that the product is imperfect. Yes. Thank God they're not building airplanes, by the way. But they know that the product is imperfect.
Yeah, and Bennett, if you're building an airplane, hold
yeah.
off.
Yeah, don't take this advice, Bennett, okay? Make sure it's absolutely perfect. But in most cases, you're 80% there. You have to expect that your first 6 months to a year, you're going to lose money. Okay. I mean, you're not going to make any money because that's part of the capital that you have to have while you get product out there for free at a very reduced price to your customers so they can start using it. You can start fixing it and making it better till you get it to a level where you then have customers that can recommend it. And then you also have a product that's really scalable and something that you can sell to a group of people. So sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And something you might want to think about doing, you mentioned a pre-market launch. If it's something that you could put out in beta, I would encourage you to do that. And what I mean by beta is, even if it's like, let's say it's an online course, like you just charge people less than what you're planning on, like, let's say it's an online course for $99, you put it out there like, okay, this course is in beta, I'm gonna charge $45 for it, but the people who buy it in beta can use it for a lifetime no matter what the price goes up. If it's a widget, you sell it in beta. Like, you just tell people, I'm going to give you a discounted price. Like, maybe you'd feel a little more comfortable doing something like that, because with products, like, you really do need a lot of feedback. You can do so much market research, but until someone is actually interacting with your product, you really can't get a good sense of how successful it's going to be.
Good stuff.
All right, we're going to be back with question two, which is about funding your business, after we hear from our sponsor.
Running a business is challenging, and you probably don't always have the time to research new strategies, market trends, and develop skills. But imagine if you could have all the latest information on running a business delivered to you every week. Luckily, there's the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. We offer some of the best information available for business owners, ranging from topics such as time management, game-changing technology and apps, to developing management and leadership skills. Sign up today for the Small Biz Ahead newsletter at smallbizahead.com.
Okay, but we're back with question two. This is from Kelly from Rhode Island, fellow New Englander. And this question is kind of funny to me. She asks, is there any downside to starting a business with a huge amount of money available to finance it? No.
What does that mean? So she's not looking for money? She's got a bunch of money and...
Unless she left out a knot?
Yeah. Let's
answer it both ways.
Okay. Well, first of all, you talk about a huge amount of money to finance it. The issue when you start a business, the issue when you buy a house, the issue when you fund the federal government is not the amount of debt, but your ability to service that debt. So honestly, if I want to start a business today, there's tons of places that I could go. There's crowdfunding sites. There's online bankers. There's even private companies that will loan you money. That's all fine getting them. Right now, we're lucky enough in 2016 where capital availability is actually quite good. But the question you have to ask yourself is this a good debt? And also, am I going to be able to, maintain that debt? Will I be able to service that debt payment? So if your business is one that's not going to be, the type of cash flow that will be there to finance and service debt, then it's not a good time to do that. So, again, I don't think it's the amount of money you're looking for. I think it's your ability to pay it.
Exactly. Now, what about if the question was, is there any downside to starting a business with a huge amount of money not available to
finance? Right. And which is what most startups kind of find themselves in that situation. They don't have the money to do it. So, look, Elizabeth or,
Kelly
what
is from Kelly. Rhode
okay,
Island.
Kelly. We live in a capitalist society. So to start up a business, you need capital. And capital comes in two forms, either money or labor. And when you start up a business, that labor is pretty much going to be your labor.
Yep. Yep.
So if you have a little bit of money, but you have a lot of time, then you might have a lot more capital than you think you have to start up and get a business going, right? If you have no time, and even if you have all the money in the world, I got news for you. I'd rather take that money and give it to a money manager who could probably get a better return on investment than throwing it away on a business that you can't dedicate the time to. So it is a balance of that capital that you're going to need to successfully launch something.
I definitely wouldn't recommend, if you have access to a huge amount of money to finance a business, I'm just assuming from this question that maybe Kelly is thinking, I have this available to me from a family member. Let's say it's going to take you $10,000 to launch the business, and then you think, well, I have $50,000 available. Like, I would recommend just sticking to that $10,000.
Yeah.
Like, it's great that you have an extra reserve there, but I would hold yourself accountable for like the smallest amount you need to actually launch the business and then go reassess it later. Because I think especially, and again, I'm just making this assumption that she's saying it's a huge amount of money available. Maybe someone's just willing to throw a lot of money at her. Don't bite off more than you can chew.
Very good.
All right, we're going to be right back with Words of Brilliance.
Words of Brilliance.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
Okay, we're back with our Words of Brilliance. I'm going to go first this time.
Go for it.
And we're going to loop back to the intro. So you talked about kind of getting outside the box of like when you're a business owner, you're running a business every day, you're in a box, you're dealing with these things.
Yep.
We just did a whole series of articles that you wrote, and we also had other writers contribute to this too on public speaking.
Right.
So this is something that this is a great way for a business owner to get outside the box.
It
is. And the reason being, and you brought this up in one of your articles, there are so few small business owners. There's so few people that feel comfortable public speaking that if you can do it at all, you should do it.
Yeah, that's great advice.
It's such a huge boon to your business. And we did an article, and it sounds really old-fashioned, but I'm just going to put it out there. We did an article on if you're not sure about public speaking, if you're not sure if you'd be good, join a Toastmasters club.
True.
Because it's a really welcoming environment. It's a safe place to go for people that don't really, they're just dipping their toe into public speaking. And it's also a way to knock networking out of the park because you're probably going to be surrounded by a bunch of other small business owners.
Very true. When I first started out public speaking, I do a lot of speaking now and I get paid to speak. So, I'm as much a professional speaker as I am running my sales and marketing company. When I first started out, and this was like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I spoke to a lot of Rotary Clubs and Lions Clubs. They're
right,
free, old school. And first of all, Rotary is a wonderful organization, yeah. and they're all over the place. And they have breakfast meetings, lunch meetings, and dinner meetings. There might be 15 people at a meeting. The largest Rotary club I spoke to was in York, Pennsylvania. There were like 250 people wow. there for a Rotary club. It's like their monthly lunch that they do, and it's like a big thing. But yeah, it's usually much, much less than that.
Yeah.
Great place to get out there and test out your platform skills and speaking yep. to a small group. And as long as you, and you don't have to speak about your business, if you like fishing or if you've got, yeah. you know, some hobby or expertise you want to share with the group, they love it. They're not going to yeah. pay you. They'll give you breakfast. You know, but it's a great opportunity.
Get some scrambled eggs out of
that. You get some scrambled eggs, and it just breaks up the day. So you're it's fantastic.
And also, if you go and speak to that group and they enjoyed it or they got it, they yep. felt a connection with yep. you, and then they might refer you some business.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So it's a great idea. And the final thing is when you speak, and one of the things I really do enjoy about speaking is, you know, we sell technology. So I get yelled at a lot all day by my clients when stuff doesn't work. And then when I go and I speak and then I finish speaking, everybody's applauding.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, look at me. This is unbelievable. You actually like me. Thank you. So there is, it really does break up the day, and it's great advice.
It's a great way to kind of play too. It's like it's a good skill to have, and yep. it can also be really fun. Although I think most of the time when you hear about public speaking, people think, oh, it's so scary, but it can also be really fun. So Gene, your word of brilliance for the week.
My word this week is write off. WRITEOFF. And here is why. This podcast, whenever it airs, is going to be sometime during the year. And I don't even care if this is 2016 or 2023. it still applies. And the application is this, about writing off. If you in your business have an accounts receivable on your books from a customer that owes you, and you sold it to that customer and he seemed like a really good guy, but it's been like a year and he hasn't paid you, but he keeps telling you he's going to pay you. He promises he's going to pay you. He might pay you. He might not pay. Here's the thing. He's not going to pay you. Okay. If it's been a year, the guy's lying to you. He's a deadbeat. Yeah. He's not going to pay you. So you know what you need to do? After your receivables have been open for, say, more than, I usually give it like 6 months. That's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Write it off. When I mean write it off, you take it off your books entirely so you can take a deduction for it. Too many business owners I know walk around with receivables on their books that they're never going to collect, and they could be taking a tax deduction for it, because by writing it off, you're allowed to deduct that on your taxes. Now, I'm saying that as a CPA. This is Gene Marks's advice, not the Hartford's advice, but this is what reality is. And by the way, it's not just accounts receivable, it's about inventory as well. Yep. Like, you know, you bought that product, like it was a really good buy, you got it at some auction or some sale from the little piece of equipment or product, whatever, you have it in your warehouse, you're absolutely going to sell it, you're really good deal on it and whatever, it's been like 3 years and you haven't sold it yet. You're not going to sell it, okay? Yeah. It's just not going to happen. It's sitting there. It's collecting dust. It's taking up overhead. It's in your way. People are tripping over it. It was a great idea at the time. You've had lots of great ideas. Some of them worked out. Some of them didn't work out so well. So write it off. Get rid of it. Scrap it. Get it out of your warehouse. Dispose of it. And then write off the value of that inventory. Take the tax deduction. It is a relatively high tax period that we're in right now. Yep. And business owners are looking everywhere for where they can deduct. And you know, old receivables and old inventory, write them off.
Great advice. Gene, thanks for joining us for another week.
Glad to be here.
And we'll be back next week. Thank you.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.